On SEN, questions without notice. For Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.
That's right, a little early edition because we've got Bruce McAvaney in the last half hour. So now's your time. Lines are open on Fun Friday as we head towards the weekend. Yeah. Big weekend of sport. 1-300-736-736. Get on the line. Give us a call. You might win yourself a $75,000 Toyota Hilux Rugged X. We've also got Rob Sinclair coming in to give away $1,000, a voucher to the magnificent E&S stores for Christmas Comes Early. And we've had lots of nominations and text messages coming through, so we'll have picked one by then. And we'll have a chat with that lucky person. Whispers, what have you got, anything?
Yes, I want to ask you a question about Will Pekowski. The news arrived yesterday that he got hit on the head again at training. He suffered the symptoms the following day of concussion. He's now being rested. Are you starting to get, like, particularly concerned about his ability to be able to resume his test career?
Yes, without having any other knowledge other than what I've read, yep. I am concerned about what I read. I don't know, and I don't want to be a doomsday sort of operator, but if it's the 10th time and he's in the nets and it was throwdowns where I read,
yeah.
So I don't know what all that was about. But
just explain to people what a throwdown is, by the way.
It's just when a coach gets in the nets and just is throwing balls from a distance away. And I don't know if that's that's what I read. But, 10 times, we know, of course we know, we're so well educated now and over the great concerns of what happens. And he took a long time to get himself right. The sad thing was he played beautifully in the first test, made a 60-odd and then hurt his shoulder, remember? Chasing a ball on the field and dislocated his shoulder and missed the rest of that series. He was penciled into open with David Warner in this Ashes series. They're saying that that's still not out of the question, but in answer to your question, yeah, I am a little bit concerned about that.
Is Al Clarkson the right man to be associated with this push for the 19th team into Tasmania? Is he the man that you would assign that task? Of going overseas and having a look at all the other organisations and how you can piece it together?
Couldn't think of anyone better than that because he'll be relentless in his pursuit of that. I did read where he's going to directly engage with Gill and the Commission, so for them that will become a bit of a nightmare because, as I said, once he gets his teeth into it, he will badger and badger and badger and push him. And from a Tasmanian point of view, that's exactly what you want. You want someone who's got when he rings, they answer. And you won't be fobbed off. You won't be able to get rid of. You won't be able to push Clark out of the side and say, "I'll get back to you in a couple of months," because he'll be back on the doorstep the next day. So I think it's an absolutely sensational appointment for Tassie, and it's going to be a lot of work for the AFL as a result of it.
What could he possibly learn over there that we don't already know about an expansion team? Do you think?
I don't know if that's his primary job of being overseas is about Tasmania. I don't think that's necessarily the case, but he will broaden his understanding of teams and relocated teams and teams that start from scratch and what are the most important things. He's going to do a business. It's part of the being overseas is broadening his business base as well, so he get a better understanding of the economics of starting a new team, I would imagine.
Okay, got a question?
I have got a question for you. The Hawthorn National Recruiting Manager, Mark McKenzie, was up before the media yesterday. He said normal stuff that he said about the fact that, we don't think the relationships are broken down by blah. And he said, in fact, I think the last few weeks may have strengthened our group. Is there a chance that that could have happened?
There is a chance. I would say it's an outside chance, but there is a chance. You know what? In this situation, what do we expect Hawthorn to say other than try and spin this into a positive, positive story for the club?
And it's like the Jordan Clark and Stephen Wells in the conversation that Sam Edmund, they both came out and said, "No, I turned it up. We just had a good chat and it was great and we love each other and it was good." And so, fair enough. You go, okay. Should Jeff Kennett be worried? That's my point. That's my main question for you this morning. Should Jeff Kennett be worried? So there's a... We know that Ian Silk and Andy Gowles, premiership player, and Ian Silk are very, very well-respected businessmen, are standing for the board, so they're just putting themselves up for election. There's now a Hawks for Change group, which includes James Morrissey and Bill Shannon. Now, Bill Shannon worked with Stephen Brax as his advertising man. Jeff's response to that is, "Oh, this is political. They don't like me being outspoken on the COVID situation because..." Inferring that Shannon is part of the Labor faction, so he'd be saying, "Oh, I can't have this." And the pokies is the other thing Jeff is saying, are the two reasons. Is he got to be a bit more, perhaps think a bit more broadly than that there may be issues other than his stance on the vaccine and the pokies that the income they generate from pokies?
Yeah, I think so. I think where this is coming from, I think so. And the people that are behind this, and it was suggested to me there's a number of really high profile former players too that probably don't want to have a frontline position in all this, but they're supporting what's going on as well. So I think
James Morrissey's put his name to the 3-time premiership player.
Yep, that's right. And I believe there are others as well. But, you know, like, this is what happens at football clubs. You know, like, when you don't have success, when you move on, a coach, like, the disruption around, I cast my mind back to when Kevin Sheedy moved on after, like, 29 years. I mean, this same disruptive thing happened around that time as well. So it's going to take some time before it settles down. I don't know when the dust settles, whether Jeff Kennett's going to be there or not. I mean, he's said many times over that, you know, like, you've got a limited time span in these roles and you need to move on and get some fresh blood into the football club. So maybe this will be the agent of change.
The other thing that the group has said, the Hawks for Change group, it says that Hawthorn has lost its community touch, right? So through all the issues that, you know, that we've been discussing about Hawthorn in the last month or so, losing the community touch hasn't been one I thought of, but we're not members. So if you're a Hawthorn member, have they? Do you feel that they've lost their community touch? Don't worry about what's happened with Clarko and the trading and all that sort of stuff. Just talk, because we don't know about the community aspect of it. So is that right? This group think that's lost its community touch, of which Jeff Kennett said that's a nonsense. So
what does that mean, though, the community touch?
Well, I don't know. I guess their ability to engage with their supporters, I suppose, to take them along for the ride.
Mm.
I don't know the answer, but the people out
it's
there,
always been,
Hawthorn members could tell us.
They've always loved their identity being the family club. So I guess that's what people are saying. Well, maybe you're losing that identity. But, like, you start winning games again and, participating in the finals, and you win all that back pretty quickly. Jack's in Pakenham. He wants to join in here too. Good morning, Jack.
How are you, lads?
Yeah, we're good. Jack, how are you this morning?
Yeah, not too bad. Question regarding Chris Scott and Geelong. He's recently been given a 2-year contract extension. Do you think the way Geelong's finished the last few seasons that to get the contract extension, he would have had to have agreed to blood some young players and play a faster style? Or is it 100% up to him who he plays and how they play?
Well, I think there'd be some robust discussion, and that's what all good clubs would have, Jack. And Steve Hocking wouldn't shy away from those robust discussions. So I'd imagine he and Chris Scott have got together in the room and probably belted it out a bit between where they're at as a footy club and where they need to be and what their list profile looks like and how they play. I think all those discussions will have been had. The good news is, I assume it's good news, is that the Cats have extended Chris Scott, who's win-loss ratio is beyond reproach. It's the final stuff that's been a bit of an issue. But I know there are some Cats fans that were wanting change, so that's always happens. Just like there's Hawthorn fans that are just saying that this is a media-driven beat-up. Well, now you've got premiership heroes of your footy club that are leading the charge for change here. So I don't think you've got to look beyond that. When it's James Morrissey, when it's Andy Gowles and these sorts of players are looking to stand and execute change, then they're closer to it than anyone in the media, I would imagine.
Kennett not having success. Watson, you are crazy. 1-4 with him in charge. Focus on your Bombers. No, we're talking about Hawthorn right now. We can have a discussion about Essendon if you like at some stage. And they haven't been successful in a long time. You're quite right about that. But we're talking about more recent time, the success in more recent time. You did win 4 flags with Jeff Kennett at the helm. They're very ornery, aren't they, the Hawthorn fans
are.
Out
they
there?
Are, they are.
Andrew's in Sunbury. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, Andrew.
Yeah, I just reckon that, you know, if this Tasmanian government's their victim, they should give Clarko a 10-year deal at $2 million a year and let him take over their under-18 side and then develop a second side in the VFL and then give them draft picks for 2 years before they enter. You know, most probably starting at late second or third round, because those guys normally don't play senior football in the first year. And then let them build up like that.
Well, it sounds like that's not a bad idea. I mean, there's a lot of things that you'd have to consider in all that, Gary. But I don't think the patience in being able to do that. If they decide that they want a team, I don't think they're going to be that patient, people down there in Tasmania. That would be the best, most sound way to build the team.
If they could have him in charge and
for 10 years.
Developing kids now at under 18 level, walk them through the VFL as a way of working out who can and who can't, and then go bang with Clarko at charge. I would love to see that. If you're Tasmanian, you'd love that. Thanks, Andrew. Marty's in McLeod. G'day, Marty.
Hey, boys. Look, with Hawthorn, as long as we've got that statue of John Kennedy pointing to the ground and that ethos is maintained, we won't have a problem.
So Hawks for Change group are saying, amongst other things, that the Hawthorn have lost its community touch. You don't agree with that?
I don't agree with that. Look, John Kennedy's ethos, Peter Knight said there's no sentiment in football. I wrote to John Kennedy, and I was fortunate enough to meet him out at Waverley. He drove all the way to Waverley to meet me and my daughter before he passed away a couple of years ago. And he wrote back, he was very humble. He said, all we want from Clarko is to win premierships, and it's not just about me, it's about the club. And that selfless attitude will come through with Sam Mitchell. Hawthorn has that grounded, Hawthorn culture, the selfless nature of John Kennedy. And if we maintain that ethos, doing nothing wrong.
Good on you, Marty. I don't see it. I haven't. Well, again, as I said earlier, I'm not a member of Hawthorn, but I haven't. They look to me to be a club that have always been in touch with their members and their supporters. I wouldn't have thought, but the Hawks for Change think otherwise.
Yes.
John's in Woodvale. G'day, John.
How you going, fellas?
Good, thanks.
Just a quick one on the AFL Medi, so a bit of a change of topic here. Do you think they'll change the rule given the way it was implemented really quickly this year? And do you think going back to 22 and then having, so if you lose a player to concussion or long-term injury during the game, you get X amount of additional rotations instead?
I couldn't see that. That's just my opinion. I couldn't see them going for more rotations for one club than another on the basis of an injury. Will they change the 23rd? Short answer for me, John, is I don't know. I doubt it, been in for a year. I think they'll stick with it, but I haven't heard anything to the contrary. Had a message come through too on the temper text that there's talk around that Luke Jackson, the young Melbourne ruckman, has committed to a new long-term deal. I have checked that out, and that's not the case, or not at the moment anyway, from the people that I speak to at Melbourne Wispy. I'd love that to be the case, but not just yet.
Just on that medical sub thing too, I got it completely wrong. I thought that it would be exploited, particularly in the grand final, but it wasn't. They could have and they didn't. So thumbs up for the medicos. Pardon?
Neither sub got on, did they?
No.
The Melbourne sub didn't.
No. And Melbourne, Melbourne tried, the players themselves, given the circumstances of the game, wanted to try and exploit it, but they weren't able to either. So completely wrong.